Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to Home-Based Business 101. My name is Isaiah. I have the pleasure of introducing the host. You know him. He's everybody's hero, my best friend. Will you please join me in welcoming my granddaddy, Baba Jahi?
Well, well, well. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. As we prepare for this holiday week, and I know a lot of people probably might have took off work for tomorrow and get the day off for Tuesday. Some might even take off Wednesday, so they won't end up working 2 days this week. Well, whatever it is that you do. But today's show, we're going to talk about, can you listen to Home-Based Business 101? Sorry, I did not introduce the show properly. My grandson Isaiah did a great job of bringing me on, and I appreciate him allowing us to use his voice to introduce the shows here on Home-Based Business 101. We want to thank, and I do these, get these props out right, we want to thank the 70,000-plus people who have listened to a show here on Home-Based Business 101 platform on Blog Talk Radio, truly making this listener-supported radio. Without you, the listeners, then our content would just be content that's out there that nobody's listening to. So we thank you for listening to our shows. Today's show and topic is we want to talk about the IRS new attack strategy on home-based business owners. See, having a home-based business was labeled as the best tax strategy ever. So I guess the IRS had to say, let me figure out ways to study how we can go around people taking advantage of this great tax strategy and come at them another way. Because, I mean, I've seen people get as much as $30,000 back. I've seen people get as much as $20,000 back, $15,000, $5,000. I mean, it's varied, but I mean, the thing is that basically these people, if they hadn't had a home-based business to leverage against their job, then all of that money would have stayed with the government. So the government's coming up with ways to try to get their money back, because really they do not want to give you a refund. It's important that people understand that they really don't want you to get a refund. So what they did, they came up with an attack strategy. And the attack strategy is based on 17 questions, which I'm going to go through. And then I'm also going to go through the different things that people are able to write off on their taxes and why this is a great tax strategy. And the 17 questions come from IRS publication 183. Appendix B, page 54. 17 suggested it be questions for auditors. In other words, see, they train and they prep the auditors to come at you a certain way. It's not them just looking at the tax return, but the manner in which, the first question they want to know is the manner in which the taxpayer carries on the activity. When did the taxpayer first started including a Schedule C, which is profit and loss from home-based business, or Schedule F, which is profit and loss from a farming business, 1120S or a 1065, which 1120S is for subchapter S corporations. If you file a corporation, you have subchapter S, which means that you're more likely still an individual but not a sole proprietorship. Or 1065, which is filed the limited liability corporations, which is, again, putting you in a different tax status, but it's, you're almost like a sole proprietor, but not quite a sole proprietor. And when they want to know, they got good computers and records. That's why I tell people all the time when people ask me questions like, can I claim a child? Can I claim my sister's child? My sister's on social service and wants to know, can I claim a child so I can get the earned income credit if we split the money? I say, you can do that if you want. I say, but I can't help you with that. I say, because what you're going to end up doing So when the IRS catches on and they match the records, I said, your sister's going to lose her welfare and her food stamps, and you're going to have to pay that money back because you frauded the government. So, you know, their computer system is top-notch, you know, and so they know when you file, how you file, and what you file. Don't think that they don't. And so the first thing they want to determine is when did you start, they look over when did you start filing with a home-based business. The first 3 years, they're kind of lenient. But, you know, after about three years, it's like, and I've seen this happen with some clients. You know, they say, like, look, you know, you ain't making no money in that business. You're writing off a loss every year. You know, we don't think it's a business. We think it's a hobby. And so, you know, that's how they used to come at you, you know. And so now they have some other ways to come at you. And the next thing they want to know, what is the general industry? What is the specialized niche? In other words, like, you know, if you're involved in, like, Legal Shield, and that's prepaid legal type services or legal aid type services. If you're involved in travel, then you're involved in travel accommodations. You know, how are you conducting your travel agency business? Who are your clients? Who are you booking trips for? What proposals have you had? And also, another very important thing is, as a business owner, you should, to protect yourself in terms of a business owner, you should get an E&I number. Now, they don't tell you this. You come into a lot of network marketing companies or whatever, but most people that are small business owners that are not involved in network marketing, they have an E&I number, and they register with their state. And was unfortunately, a lot of times people in network marketing think that the parent company has got their back on this. The parent company, basically, they issue you a 1099 when you earn so much money. And if you sign up under your Social Security number, that money is going to be reported under your Social Security number. If you have an E&I number, that money is going to be reported under your E&I number, which puts you in a little bit different status with the IRS, because now you're looked upon as a real business. So, again, as I was saying, you know, they want to know what is the specialized niche. Where is the business conducted? You know, and for most small business owners, especially home-based business owners that are network marketers, the business is conducted, you know, everywhere. You know, from your home, you do home parties. From you meet somebody at a hotel or a seminar, or you go to their house one-on-one. So, you know, that's your geographical area. And they want you to specify your demographic target population. Well, for most people that are home-based business owners that are marketing, your home-based target population is usually anybody 18 and older. Then they get into, is the business seasonal or ongoing? See, all of those are just little questions get you talking and sharing about your business, and then they're writing that down. Then they get to question number 7. Here's the biggie. Did the taxpayer have a business plan? And most home-based business owners, network marketers, do not have a business plan. If you want more than writing down, you know, my business plan is I'm going to contact 5 people a week, show them the presentation. Out of those 5, I should end up with 3 that's interested and maybe 1 that's seriously interested, and I'm able to do business with them. You can begin to have some measurable numbers. So, you know, they want to know what kind of business plan you got. Then the next thing is, if you say you have a business plan, did you follow your business plan? Show me your business plan. Did you follow it? If your business plan is that on Tuesdays and Thursdays, you have a meeting you go to. On Saturdays, you're doing a home presentation. You need to be able to show them how you follow your business plan. if you have tools such as I have, company I'm with, we have a mobile app, and I can pull that mobile app out, and I can show when people were invited to what, where, and who responded to watching videos that we send out on the mobile app, who actually came out to an event. Because when people come out to an event, you should have some type of intake form, if no more than acknowledging to your event. So you have a list of who came out to the event, so the way you can show how you're following your business plan. All right, next. How did the taxpayer propose to compete with similar businesses? See, this is something that goes in your business plan anyway, but they want to know, okay, if you're marketing travel, I'm using that as an example because it's a business I'm in, how do you compete with, what is it that makes you different? How are your deals better than theirs? How are you going to beat them in the marketplace? So you really want to know that. When and how did the idea of the business activity originate? Okay. What made you come up with this business? See, that should be part of listening to your business plan. What enticed you to decide to get involved in the business that you're involved in, and why? You know, because hopefully you got involved in it because you saw it as a lucrative opportunity to earn some additional money, free up some time. Whatever your reasons are, that should be written out in your business plan. Next, number 11. Was the business plan in writing? See, they're going to want to see it. You tell me, I got a business plan. They're going to want to see it. Was it in writing? What were the financial requirements to start the business? You know, in most cases, people put up their own money, but in some cases, people borrow money. Sometimes people might go to a bank and get a loan. So, you know, that's when they ask you, were there bank loans, investors, personal savings, family, et cetera? What documentation is available for how you started the business in terms of your initial capital investment? Usually you have, if you have a sign-up fee with a company, you got a receipt, you got your credit card statement, those type things. How is the business currently being financed? If you got, like, in most network marketing companies, you have what's called an auto ship. Who's paying for the auto ship? In most cases, that's you. Unless you got business partners, like I said, if you formed the LLC and you came into your company under those guys, then, you know, you might have different people to help you keep the business financed. What financial risks are involved in this type of business? Okay, so you got the list. What are the risks? And that's something, you know, you can specify on. Now what I want to do, this second part here, I want to go over aspects of why a home-based business is the best tax strategy ever. I mean, matter of fact, I'm looking at one of my books I have right here by Sandy Bakken. He's a former IRS attorney and senior tax law specialist. And the IRS never asked for a business plan in the past. So this is this new stuff that they're coming up with. And the new stuff is designed because the government is broke. They don't have money. They're trying to trim the budget. And one of the things that they're hurting in is too many people, as they feel, money back, reducing their taxes to home-based business or network marketing tax or companies. So you got people, like I said, with 30, 40, $50,000 back on their taxes. The government saying, no, we need that money. We need that money. See, and because the bottom line is this, on paper, most business operations cost 100% tax deductible. The bottom line answer is that they're normally 100% tax deductible. The cost of starting up your home business, promotional materials, product samples, meeting attendance, internet access fees, special phone services, fax lines, lead lists, website fees, 800 number printing costs, briefcases, business cards, home office furnishings, all can be 100% tax deductible if they are used 100% for business. The rule of thumb is this: any expense you incur because of your business that you would not have incurred if you didn't have a business is probably deductible. See, so you want to include those things in your business plan, what you had to do to start up. You know, if you bought a computer, a laptop, you know, a desk, a chair, a file cabinet, no matter when you acquired those things, if you acquired all of them when you started or you acquired them along the way, you always want to list what you spent. And so that's a huge, huge deduction. Next is, many people in home-based business can honestly and legitimately deduct $3,000 to $5,000 or more per year for using their personal vehicles for business purposes. All you require before in the past, I got to check to see if they changed this, keeping a 90-day log once a year showing the date, destination, primary purpose, and miles traveled for each use are the only records most people need to keep. Note that only the primary purpose of each trip needs to be recorded. So if you combine a personal earn with a necessary business earn, the vehicle use is still tax deductible as long as the personal earn did not add any additional mileage. So you learn how to fit those things into your schedule. You know, tax laws even give you a choice of methods for computing the value or deductions. If you got deduction both ways and use the one that benefits you the most. When they say they give you two ways, they give you can go by, they call standard mileage or actual expenses. And depending on the situation, you see which one gets you the best deduction. Okay. Family trips may be deductible if you plan them correctly. If you know the rule, you can combine business with pleasure, mostly pleasure, and can usually deduct 100% of your travel costs, 100% of your hotel, 100% of your ground transportation, 100% of the tips and gratuities, and 50% of your meals as a business expense. Even if most of your time is spent sightseeing, playing with your family, to qualify, more than half of your days away from home need to be qualified as business days. So what's a business day? Travel days usually count as a business day. So do any days you attend a pre-scheduled meeting, no matter how brief. So you want to make sure if you're traveling that you definitely have some meetings that you're attending during the day. And you want to make sure you're able to do that, because then, he says, you mix business with pleasure, you're able to write off that trip. And this is helping a lot of people, like I say again, have huge, huge deductions. And so, you know, you got to learn how to fit those in under these new guides and guidelines that they're coming up with, where you include that in your business plan. Here's another one that's really good. Hire your own children in your business to earn tax-free income. If you have a minor child or children at least 6 years old and employ him or her, then in your home-based business, and they are not subject to minimum wage, child labor laws, no payroll withholding is required if they're under 18. The wages you pay them is 100% tax deductible to you as a business expense, and income they earn is 100% tax-free. That's as good as it gets. Pay your child. You want to include that in your business plan. You have a child. That way you can show what the business is doing for the family. And you definitely want to pay them. Now, here's another huge one, especially now with this, as they messing around with the health insurance stuff. All health costs for you and your family can be tax deductible, but only if you own a business. Most other taxpayers can deduct only health care costs that exceed 10% of their taxable income, except you. Owning a home-based business gives you an IRS-approved option writing off all non-reimbursed health costs. It applies to all members of your immediate family in addition to you. Coverage can include insurance premiums, annual deductibles, co-pays, expenses like orthodontics, natural or holistic remedies. That's a key one, right? A lot of people don't know. If you have a business and you buy a lot of natural supplements by having a home-based business, you can deduct those from your taxes. And even some of the over-the-counter drugs. So you definitely, if you're doing natural stuff, you need to make sure that you own a home-based business so that you can write those things off. Also, if you go to a gym, if there's some people like going to certain places like Planet Fitness and similar places like that, and if you go to a gym, you can write off your gym costs as a home-based business owner because that is a natural way to improve your health. Okay, next we want to talk about is the IRS is very specific about requirements for qualifying for home-based business deductions. Qualifying simply requires you to work your business on a regular and consistent basis. Be trying to produce a profit. Keep good records. That's pretty much it. Until they added this new attack plan where they want to look at a business plan. Before, all you had to do was work your business 4 to 5 hours a week. 4 to 5 hours a week. Show intent to earn a profit. And keep good records. And nowadays with these cell phones that we have, and we have there's a tool that you can buy called TaxBot that was created by Mr. Sandy Botkin, who I talked about earlier, who wrote the book Lawyer Taxes Big Time. There's tools that you can buy to keep track and help you keep good records. Note, you do not have to make a profit before qualifying for the deductions. Just be working towards making a profit. That's how to qualify. Now, what do you qualify for? Your home-based business tax breaks come in the form of a long list of tax deductions ranging from rent and utilities to furniture and furnishing to cars and trucks to trips and entertainment and even your children's allowance. Home-based business tax deductions have helped many people cut their taxes by up to 30 to 50% or more. That amount of tax savings can be enough to ward off a bankruptcy, avoid a foreclosure, or pay for running your home-based business. So you got to see the big picture. Even though they have a new attack strategy, we have a response strategy in which we're helping people prepare for tax strategy. And if you'd like more information about that, you can give me a call at 252-458-3712, or you can email me at Baba, B-A-B-A, Jahi, J-A-H-I, 17 at gmail.com. I'll repeat the email address again and the phone number one more time. You can email me at B-A-B-A, that's Bravo Alpha, J-A-H-I, John Alpha Henry Information, 17 at gmail phone number. Once again, it's 252-458-3712. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like to hear from you so that we can help you prepare for the IRS attack on small business owners, home-based business owners, and network marketers in particular. They're coming after you. If you're in network marketing and you've had a loss on your taxes for the last 3 years or more, they're coming after you, okay? Fair warning. You got the warning this morning on this show. They're coming after you. Not that you've done anything illegal. You've taken advantage of the home-based business tax laws, which allows you also to write off a loss for up to 20 years. Most people are told you can only do 3 to 5 years. You can write off a loss up to 20 years. That's why that business plan is important. So you can tie it together, dot the I's, cross the T's, the direction in which you're going and how you're moving. We have coming up for the rest of this week, we have a couple good shows that we're going to be having tomorrow. at 3 o'clock on the Passionate Travel Radio Show. Miss Victoria Falk will be interviewing Mr. David Murphy of the National Black Unity News as part of a process, because my wife and I, we are the national travel editors for the National Black Unity News. And so we're going to make sure that people know more and more about the newspaper and how they can get involved with the newspaper, from advertisement to stories to just being able to be involved. You know, we're always broadening our platform, broadening our base, increasing our network so that we can increase cash flow. Also, on Fridays at noon, a new time, Cynthia Jahi is doing the Jasari's Love Show. She spent the last couple of weeks talking about peace and finding internal peace. And then also, as you find that internal peace, how to extend that externally to help you have a peaceful environment, a peaceful place where you live, peaceful interaction with people that you live and share space with, which is so important. Why should people be in the same house and be tense and be angry with each other? That just don't make any sense to me. That just don't make any sense. So, you know, so stay tuned. Make sure you tune in tomorrow at 3, Friday at noon. Due right now is, I want to close out, if I'm able to right now, I'm going to close out with my theme song, It's Your Time. Remember, you know, it is your time. It's your time to change your destiny. So listen to Mr. Paul Hoffman's song called It's My Time.
Journey.